Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome back. Today we are going to have an interesting conversation on a very, very cool tool to start your investing journey.
Yes.
And we're very excited for that.
Yes. They're called exchange-traded funds or ETFs. And first, let's understand what they are, right?
Yes. An ETF is a pool of stocks. So if you're interested in investing in the share market, but you don't know which specific one to invest in, then ETFs are an excellent way to start. And actually, ETFs may be a good way to start even if you think you know which stock to invest in.
I was going to say that because they help you hedge your risks or divide your risk instead of depending on one company to do well. This is kind of dividing that expectation into many companies. And exchange-traded funds are often confused with index funds and mutual funds, but less so. Index funds and ETFs tend to be similar, but index funds are basically predefined from what the list of the index is. So for example, if it's S&P 500 from the US, then that list is predefined. So the index fund would basically just pool all of these companies that are already in the index. Whereas an exchange-traded fund or an ETF could be based on different criteria. So it could be simply based on the founder of the fund, like Cathie Woods has ARK Investments, or it could be based on their growth potential. It could be based on their sector. So tech funds, oil funds, energy funds, healthcare funds, banking funds, etc. are common. Or sometimes they are... There are some funky ETFs which are like the reverse of an index, triple leveraged, etc., etc. So you could really be as boring or as funky with ETFs as you would like to be.
Yes, and actually in the world of investing, I think when you just talk about it, they're all referred to ETFs, whether it's an index fund or... But I think this was very useful to define it so people understand exactly what it is.
Exactly.
But if you say that I'm investing in an ETF, it's almost always assumed that you're investing in the market. You're not picking.
Yes.
But you are picking the type of ETF. You're just not picking stocks.
Yes. And I did mention mutual funds as well. So just to put things in context, mutual funds are... very common, especially in the Indian subcontinent, because they've got a lot of advertising budgets generally. And the advertising budgets come from very active managements that these funds have. So they would have a team, they would have an office and other kind of physical aspects to the business, which means that they have the human component of picking the investments for you, picking the stocks for you. And also having high fees as a result.
Yes, and there's a lot of controversy more recently about whether managers are able to make money after having accounted for their fees versus just an ETF.
Yes.
And the answer and the odds are in the favor of the ETF.
Yes.
As of now, especially within US and Europe, likely. Emerging markets, it depends.
Yes, so versus a mutual fund where there's human involvement and there's, I suppose, some sort of communication, calling back and forth, etc. An ETF is literally the same as a stock. Once it is pooled together and made into that conglomerate or basket of stocks, it's listed on the exchange the same way an individual stock would be. And you can trade in and out of an ETF the same way you would be able to with an individual stock.
Yeah, and the benefit of an ETF is actually that, I think we're going slightly technical here, but when you're buying and you're selling, it's not always the same price that you would buy and sell at.
Yeah.
And the difference between this price that you would buy and sell at is called a spread. And the spread is where you... That's the true cost of your investment, where in the spread you are. So if the spread is wide, let's say the spread is $5 and $10, so a spread of 5, that's very wide.
That's
you could be buying at 10 and selling at 5, which is a huge spread. So that could be your cost. But so basically, the lower the spread, the better it is for you as an investor, especially if you're going to be trading. And the benefit of an ETF is that spreads are much lower on ETFs versus individual stocks, right, or bonds even.
Right. If you're a beginner and ETF is a great place to start, what sort of ETFs should people be looking at, Rupali? Let's go into some specifics.
I think there's so many quite popular ones, actually. You have your S&P 500, which is your U.S. Market. It's the top 500 companies in the U.S., which are primarily driven by the top 10 stocks currently, which are tech stocks. So essentially, it's almost like a tech fund, but it's actually, it's meant to be diversified. And that's the joke in the investment market today, where 5 or 10 stocks are driving the performance of a 500 company ETF. Yeah. In the US, S&P 500 is a good one. Russell 1000 is a good one. Russell 3000 is a good one, which is a broader set of companies. You have many ETFs that represent the European market. Going back to the US, iShares has an ETF. Vanguard has an ETF. So there's different providers of ETFs that you could go through. Exactly. And they differ by fees. Yes. So that's something you should understand.
Generally, iShares tends to be quite economical, right? Or is
so
it Vanguard?
It's the other way, yeah. So in this particular case, Vanguard's cheaper by quite a large amount.
Oh, wow.
To the common person, it may not be as significant, but it adds up over time.
Yeah. There's also SPDR, right? SPDR as well. Amongst others, these are kind of the popular ETF providers, and each of them would have their subtypes, like we said. So there's Vanguard Growth, iShares 500, etc., etc.
There's so many sets within there. Yeah. So if you're passionate about tech, for example, you can get a tech ETF.
Yeah.
If you want a specific country exposure, you can get a country. Exactly. So you're basically investing in the entire market.
Exactly.
Versus selecting 2-3 names that you may know.
Yes. Which I think ends up being quite efficient in terms of research times required. But we should be mindful that sometimes they may not see the astronomical growth or the rates of return from individual stocks. So you do spread your risk, which means you take on less risk with ETFs versus individual stocks. But then also proportionately, you may have lesser returns.
Yes, because in an ETF, what could end up happening is a stock that you may have liked and may have delivered 100%, but some other stocks lost money in the ETF. Net-net, it averages out. So you don't make as much as the stock made, but you don't lose as much as the other stocks made. Exactly. Whereby if you had the skills, the time, the resources for research, and you do pick stocks in particular markets, then you may, like you said, make more money.
Yes.
But it comes with a lot of risk.
Yes, for sure. And I think ETFs should definitely be part of everyone's portfolios the way I see it, because I normally tend to kind of do a good view. Let's say 60 to 70% of my portfolio would be individual stocks, but I do keep 30% as ETFs, because generally, I tend to define myself as a risk taker. So if you're on the other side of the spectrum, maybe you could reverse that percentage.
Exactly. It totally depends. I think this is where it's very important to understand your tolerance for risk.
And we have a quiz to help you understand.
We have a quiz. And we have an episode on different levels of risk that you should refer to, which we can link in the show notes.
Yes.
Because we're all about empowering you to understand your financial situation, to be able to take your next steps. Once you understand your risk score or your risk tolerance, you can then refer to our starting our episode of Where Do I Start?
Yeah.
We've got tools on Where You Start. Kalyani is a financial coach. She's got some amazing resources in terms of getting started on your investments journey.
Yes.
So this is literally a drop in the ocean.
Yes, we want to keep this really easy to understand. And if this is a topic that's of interest to you, and if you enjoy our technical discussions, then please drop us a note so we can go deeper. We literally do this day in and day out. Rupali works in corporate finance as well. So there is a lot that we could share, and we'll be happy to share if we know of your interest.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fintastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fintastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.